look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin. I wasn't looking forward to this show when the football schedule came out because the Giants, the only team I live and die with in sports, playing a morning game in Germany right now. But after that first half, I'm happy I'm going to get an hour reprieve from having to watch such pathetic play. The bad news is Sean is taking another bye week. The good news is we're going to be interviewing four people today. We're not just going to do football. It's going to be a very soccer-centric show. Coming up a little bit later, Grant Stupak, the quarterback at Fairfield Ludlow, is going to be joining me for our little football segment. And later on, we have the coaches of the two boys' soccer teams still alive in the state playoffs, Greenwich's Kurt Putnam and Trumbull's Sil Vitello. But joining me right now is one of my favorite athletes because I've gotten to watch her so much, gotten to know her so much because you pretty much have to interview her after every game. And she's having another sensational season right now. She's the two-time Gatorade Player of the Year and a good chance she may make the hat trick when we find out this year's winner, St. Joseph's Alexa Pino. Alexa, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm more importantly, if anybody saw my TikTok, how's Benji doing? Did the cool down work?
Yeah, he's good. he's loving everything right now, and he's obsessed with Minions at the moment. So we've just kind of been putting him to sleep by letting him watch Despicable Me. So yeah, he's good.
If people go to my TikTok, you can see Benji warming, doing a cool down with Alexa. Alexa, you guys are in the semifinals. You're going to play Ridgefield on Tuesday, coming off an impressive 5-0 win over Fairfield Ward. First of all, what's the mood of the team right now?
We're definitely all very excited right now. I mean, last week, you had asked me like how I felt about the game and how it went, or a couple days ago when we played against Ward, and it was a slow start, and I think we're all trying to capitalize on our mistakes and trying to fix everything so we can almost perfect what we did wrong. And obviously no one's ever going to be perfect, and especially all 11 players on the field, it's nearly impossible, but that's our goal. And we've just kind of been trying to work on things that we might have not executed very well last game, and we're going to try and kind of transfer it over to the next game when we play Ridgefield.
Well, you guys certainly exploded in the second half. Your coach, Jack Nagara, said it was the best half you guys played in a while, where you were able to score four times in the 5-0 win. What happened in the second half of that game? What finally clicked for you guys?
I think in halftime, we all kind of knew, like, in order to put that game away, we needed to get quick goals. And whether it was one or two, like, I think it was after Julia scored the second goal. It was kind of early into the second half. I told Taryn, one of my teammates, she plays the 10 for us. I told her, I'm feeling two more from us. Doesn't matter who it was, like, I was just feeling it. So, and a big thing for us is momentum, and once we get that, it's hard to stop all three of our top line, me, Sarah, Julia, and then you have Taryn in the middle. It's just a very good combination to have.
Any four of you can score at any time. You're up to 23 goals and 21 assists so far this year, and your final game at your home field, yeah, ended it with a goal on, you got a penalty kick. It was almost fitting that you get a chance to make sure you scored, and you had two beautiful assists. What was it like for your final game? We talked a little bit about it after the game, but what did it mean for you personally to play your last game there and to play so well?
After that game, I took it all in with my family, and obviously I've spent most of my time during high school at that St. Joe's Field. Estee Lower Turf, it's a very special place in my heart, and I'm sure in all of our other seniors' hearts. And I hope that at least the freshmen now, I know the upperclassmen have that same feeling, but I hope that the freshmen, after we leave, they continue to have that same feeling as I do and the other girls in my class do, because truly it's just such a special place. Whenever I go to train by myself, like I live about 20, 25 minutes away from my school. And I have my town school right in my backyard, but I will always choose to go train at St. Joe's because it is, it's just the environment there is just so special to me. And it makes me feel like I'm getting stuff done when I'm there. So I would much rather choose to drive the 25 minutes there and train than go anywhere else.
Well, it certainly worked out real well for you. A couple weeks ago, the FCAC championship game, you guys were going for a three-peat, and you guys had the better of the play offensively, but you ran into a really good New Canaan team defensively, and you ended up going to penalty kicks and lost, and you were denied a third straight FCAC title. What was the mood then, and how did you turn a negative into a positive for your play in the state playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was a very devastating game. Our first loss in, I don't even know.
I think it was 59 matches the first time you lost.
Yeah, it was a lot of games. And I always say, like, PKs are the worst way to go out. If like, and it's all, and almost hurt more because there was a miracle goal at the end. Like, the goal that we scored, it wasn't a great goal. But
and you scored it, by the way.
Yeah, and uh-huh. It was with 1 minute to go, and it miraculously happened to go through the keeper's legs. And I think even watching the film, like, she was shocked. And our coach told us, you don't score a goal like that and lose the game. And after the PKs went the way they did, it was heartbreaking for all of us. I mean, the bus ride was quiet on the way back. The next couple of days at school were tough. But I think I had a talk with the team, and I said, guys, I know how this feels right now, and we can't let it destroy the rest of our season because we still have work to do. And I said, if it's still affecting you in any way, you have to channel that feeling, the sadness or the anger, or turn your sadness into anger and channel it into the next four games that we have left. And we did that in our first game, against Greenwich. Another game like that where we score with, 3 minutes to go. And I tell them, like, you have to take something from the FCAC finals. Don't just look at it as a loss. Look at it as, you have to keep playing until the last whistle, the final whistle, because we kept ourselves in it. Like, we scored a goal with 1 minute and 20 seconds left to go. And I told them, in the games following this one, we have to play like we did in that game. And against Greenwich, we scored a goal with 3 minutes left, won the game 1-0, and now we're on to the next round, quarterfinals.
You guys have played three FCAC. You're going to play your third FCAC team. I know what coaches say. I really haven't talked to players, but the fact that you have to play league teams, even though you know them, does it take away from you don't really feel like you're playing in a state tournament? And what about playing Ridgefield now on Tuesday in the semis?
I mean, I don't think it makes it any different. We played last year, my junior year, we played Ridgefield three times, once in season, once in FCAC playoffs, and then once in states. So I think any team that's put in front of us, we have to treat it the same way, regardless of if it's a non-league team or if it's an FCAC team. We just have to go. And honestly, if it's an FCAC team, that almost makes it more interesting because it's like, whatever happened during the season doesn't matter anymore because anything could happen.
You're the two-time Gatorade Player of the Year. I don't know. I haven't looked up if anyone's done it three times. And you've got another big honor coming up. You've been named to play in the All-America game in South Carolina, a state you're going to become real familiar with over the next 4 years because you're going to continue your career at South Carolina. I certain athletes, for whatever reason, that stand out, you remember the first time you interview them, and I can remember the first time I interviewed you was your freshman year at New Canaan, and I've heard so much about you, and you were poised as a freshman. You're poised now. You look back at it, all these honors, all the accomplishments. If you guys win two more games, you'll have won a state title every year. You think back, you just got to be so excited about the career you've had individually and being part of the teams that you have.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if we hadn't have had the success that we did the past 3 years, I mean, three state titles, two FCAC titles, and hopefully a fourth championship this year for states, any of the individual awards or accolades, that wouldn't have meant nearly as much if we didn't have those team awards. Because honestly, like, that's all we're in for it. And really, any award that I may or may not get this year, I know it's not going to mean as much if we don't win this state championship. And I really hope we do. And I'm sure everybody else on our team, especially our five seniors, can say the same.
Well, Alex, I could actually talk to you for a whole hour with everything everything that you've accomplished and so many things we didn't get to. But, you know, you make writers, you play so well that you make it a challenge on writers to put out the words that do justice to what you do on the field. And it's been a great 4 years for me watching your accomplishments, and I want to wish you and your team the best of luck this final week, and thanks a lot for taking the time here to join me.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Alexa. That was St. Joseph's star attack, Alexa Pino. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to switch over to football and Fairfield Ludlow quarterback Grant Stupak. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
We're back here on the Rudin Report Live, and we're going to make the switch from soccer to football. Not a lot of big action on the football field. There were two big games. And one of the craziest games with a score that ends up 14-10, Staples scored with 47 seconds to go, a 42-yard pass from Nick Wall to Shane Sandrew, and that gave Staples a 14-10 win over Staples, a 14-10 win over St. Joseph in a game that they trailed just about the whole time. And there were 10 turnovers on 3 and 4 plays in the fourth quarter. So that was a little bit of a wild one. And we had the first time we've had a game that I can remember with what I'll call top of the second tier teams right now, two teams that were not in the top 10. Fairfield Ludlow has never played in a postseason game before. And they went up, hosted Wilton on Friday. They needed a win to pretty much put themselves in the position to finally qualify for the state playoffs, and they had pulled their breaths a little bit at the very end, but in a kind of a crazy game as well. Ludlow came away with a 21-14 win, and joining me right now is Falcons quarterback Grant Stupak. Grant, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Dave? Appreciate you having me on.
Nah, thanks for joining me here. So it was a pretty raucous celebration after the game with the team and all your fans charging onto the field. What was that moment like? And now that you guys have had a day and a half to digest the position you're in, what's the feeling with the team right now?
Just an absolutely unbeatable feeling. Beating a team like that for the first time ever, it was really just amazing.
Yeah, Wilton obviously is 3-5 and is not a typical 3-5 team. They've had a brutal schedule. They've got a lot of injuries, and you guys just took care of business. I know your coach Mitch Rosswell. I graduated high school with him, and I listened to a little bit of his post game talk, and he told you that was the biggest win in Ludlow history. And I've been covering sports a long, long time. I don't remember a bigger one. What's the level of satisfaction when you knew what was on the line?
Well, first of all, Wilton's obviously a great team, excellently coached, and we're also a great team. We got great coaches, and we're trying to get in there and hopefully come out with a win. So I think we executed, took care of business, and we came out with a win.
You guys took a halftime 21-7 lead and got shut out the second half. I don't remember the last time you guys were shut out and, you know, for a half. What you had to put a lot on your defense to help out, and your defense certainly came through. What's it like there on the sideline when you're watching your defense and you know you need them to step up to help get the W?
I have 100% confidence in the defense. Coach Cav, Coach Levy are putting in hundreds of hours of work into making a good game plan and getting everything on the field right. And I think the defense really came up big for us this week. And I think they're the reason we're talking right now and we won the game.
You open the game and you're known as a passing team. And first possession, you guys go 76 yards in 12 plays and ate up 6 minutes and 47 seconds. And I think there was only one pass out of the 12 plays. And actually, that was a third down conversion, third to last play or second to last play before you scored. You're used to throwing the ball and you like throwing the ball, but it had to be a lot of fun to watch your run game do what it did.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch both Liam and Ryan go for around 200 yards, I think it was. And when we see they got that weak box, we're going to attack that. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm not throwing. All I really care about is getting out with a win.
Could you see, and I'm standing on the sidelines, and sports writers these days with video, we don't get to see the games as well as we used to, but could you see, right? Was that the game plan going in, or was it if they, you know, if they do this, then we're going to do this, and you guys saw that they were trying to defend the pass and you guys went to the run?
Yeah, well, going into the game, we saw that they really come with a weak box, and we like to run against a weak box. So we're going to try and run the ball in the first half and see if we can get them out of that weak box into a stronger box so we could pass the ball, because we obviously were a passing team and we love to pass. So we kept running, and they never changed it. So we just kept running.
You had one long touchdown pass, and you didn't throw the ball as much as you're accustomed to, but you were on target for virtually the whole game. I talked to you a little bit about this after the game. I want to explore it a little more because it's one of the more interesting components of your team. But you know, Mitch Ross bucks convention a lot. He'll take plays that he'll decide to go for third and fourth downs when most coaches wouldn't. Sometimes he's going by analytics, and sometimes he says, I don't care about the analytics. He just thinks the percentages in high school football are going to play in your favor. And you guys have 4th and 6 from your own 19 late in the game. 99.9% of coaches are going to punt the ball there, because if you don't make the first down, then they have a short field to tie. And not only do you guys go for it, but you hit a 36. It wasn't a low percentage play. You hit Ryan Minozzi for a 36-yard gain. And even though you didn't score, that was a big swing in field position that helped you guys hold on. Is there any any part of you that's I know you. Any player's going to say, "Yeah, I want the ball in my hands. I want to get to play." But are there any times you're saying, "I can't believe we're going for it"? Were you shocked that you were going for it, or are you just so used to it?
No, I'm used to it at this point. Coach Ross, he's got some nerve there, because me personally as a coach, I would have been so scared in that moment, and he called the right play and we got it done. We executed, and that's all you can really ask for from your players. So I think Coach Ross did a great job of calling that game.
What does that say about the confidence he has in you and your teammates?
Yeah, well, Coach Ross and Coach Avery have been I've really been handpicking plays and game planning all week for this, and we really picked out a great play, and he had 100% confidence in me and Ryan, and we both were able to connect on that long fourth down. Felt amazing, man.
I thought it was funny. Your fan base, student fan base, the Nest, you guys get great turnouts at home games. I thought it was funny. I don't know if you heard it, but before you came out on the field to go for a fourth down, your fans are chanting, "Punt the ball, punt the ball." Did you hear that?
I did.
What's going through your mind when your own fans are sort of saying, you know, play the percentages?
Well, I obviously have 100% trust in Coach Ross and whatever he does. But in that situation, that was a very ballsy call, I'll say. And Coach Ross, he's yeah, wow. That was a great play from Coach Ross. And Ryan made an outstanding catch.
Yeah, and after that, the chant was Mitch Ross.
Yeah.
One, you know, you may get in with if you were to lose two, you're playing two teams with a combined five wins. One of them, your big rival, Fairfield Ward, on Thanksgiving. It hasn't happened yet. So let's say if you get into the state playoffs, what would it mean to all of you?
It would mean really the world. This is our first time in school history ever having like really a fighting chance of getting in. Last year we came close, but we couldn't get it done in the end. But this year's different. We're looking to make a deep run.
Well, sports writers don't root for teams, but we root for good stories. And Ludlow football has been a great story. So I've gotten to know you guys a little bit this year, and you got a great group. And, you know, hopefully we want to see as many FCAC teams in the state playoffs as possible. So I wish you and the rest of the guys best of luck. Hopefully, for the first time, you guys are going to be playing football in December. And like I said, sure. Best wishes on accomplishing that goal. And thanks a lot for taking the time here to join me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right, that was Fairfield Ludlow quarterback Grant Stupak. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to go back to soccer. And two of the best coaches in the FCAC, and up first will be Greenwich's Kurt Putnam. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We're back on the Rudin Report Live, and we're going to make the switch again from football to soccer, which I'm always happy to talk soccer. And joining me right now, his team's unbeaten, two wins away from winning FCAC and state titles in the same year, which is a remarkable feat if it happens, and a rare feat, which we'll talk about. His team's the best team I've seen this year, maybe the best team I've seen in the FCAC in the last few years. And that's Greenwich, and joining me right now is the Cardinals coach, Kurt Putnam. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. Thanks, you?
I'm doing okay. I'm not as good as you, but thank I got you. To watch you yesterday, and another strong performance by the Cardinals. You fell behind early 1-0, and then just erupted in the second half for a 4-1 win, and I know you weren't discouraged at halftime, and you were pretty elated after the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, for the guys that haven't been behind really this year, and the only other time was against Ridgefield. And, you know, in that game, I made a few adjustments, and we ended up playing a really strong second half and came away winning that game. And I think the boys yesterday, you know, we try to go back to games where pivotal moments in games where we've changed things up a bit, or, you know, and when the team has then got, you know, the bit between the teeth. And so I understand that the players at half time after I give my team talk, went back out onto the field and they just said, Remember Ridgefield. That's what we have to do right now. And, you know, I think when that button then switches on and they find that extra gear, and, you know, they're a pretty destructive team once they get to that next level. And, you know, we talk about, for us, our best form of defense is offense. When we have possession of the ball, it really does make it hard for other teams to get much going. And I think that happened against Wilbercross the previous week in the second round, and it happened to Norwalk yesterday. You know, Norwalk played a fantastic first half, but we really just didn't give them any opportunities to do much in the second. So, really proud of the boys.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, and you exploded for four goals in the second half in the span of 26 minutes. I thought, obviously, that was the most important span, but I thought what was really critical to the outcome was the 35 minutes that you were down 1-0. You guys had a couple of near misses, and Norwalk goalkeeper Dalton Berry, who is one of the two best keepers in the league, just had a bunch of sensational saves. And a lot of times when you're the favorite, you start pressing, and by pressing, then you don't execute well, and it snowballs, and you end up losing a game. Your guys didn't get frustrated. They were sort of resolute and said it's going to come, and it did come with that four-goal eruption.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are a team that obviously creates a lot of offense. And interestingly, the first year I've used Huddle this year, and I'm able to obviously get a lot of data out of it. And we've spoken a lot about our conversion rate. You know, our conversion rate, believe it or not, is actually pretty low for situations that we put ourselves in. You know, but what I've said to the team is, you know, our conversion rate might not be where we would like it to get, because that would take some pressure off of us. We're getting more goals based on shots and, you know, and what we call, like, you know, good opportunities. But if we keep getting in those good opportunities, the goals will come. So it's really believing in the process and believing in the players and believing in the way that we want to play, that in the end, you know, good attacking football, getting the ball to the right players and in the right areas of the field, and you know, serving good quality balls into the box and getting players forward, always in the end should result in us you know, scoring goals. And you know, I think to Norwalk's credit yesterday, and definitely Dalton, I mean, he made two incredible saves in the first half, and then I think he probably made another couple in the second, and you know, that really kept Norwalk in it. But as you said correctly, Dave, they didn't get frustrated. Sometimes it's very easy for teams to start hitting a lot of long balls and it's taking long shots and stuff like that. But they didn't. You know, they're a grounded group of boys who believe in what we're doing, and they just have to stick at it. And really, all I asked them to do was just try to win a lot more of the second ball. I thought we were quite competitive on the first, but not so competitive on the second ball. And that often can be the one that you need to win in order to set your framework and your structure to go forward. And I think the difference in the second half was we won probably about 80% of the second ball, which allows us then to play our game in the most dangerous areas of the field.
Now, offense always seems in any sport, especially in the high school level, to get the most attention. You score four goals in 26 minutes, you're going to talk about the four goals. Now, you score a late goal in the FCAC championship to beat Stanford, you're going to talk about the goal. But your strongest unit, and they've been consistently good all year, has been your defense. And again, case in point yesterday, Norwalk scores midway through the first half, and you shut them down the rest of the game. Talk a little bit about how well your defense has been this year.
Yeah, I mean, when we look back, the team's been kind of a little bit funny the first half of the season. We were either letting in goals in the first half, and then we kind of put a stop to that, but then we were letting goals early in the second half. And so, you know, I said to them, you know, guys, we have to be a team that really stops teams from scoring in any part of the game. And I think that the turning point, Dave, was really Ridgefield. We had gone down 2-1 after scoring very early on, you know, and we looked a bit disorganized. You know, their striker scored a nice individual goal, but we kind of made it a bit easy for him with players just flying in for tackles when they really should be standing up and jockeying. And, you know, at that point, 2-1 down and looking like the back line at the time was a little bit, you know, on the back foot and not looking that cohesive and confident. You know, I made a couple of changes there and then. And, you know, since really making those changes, you know, it's hard not to not go with consistency because, you know, we've only let in 3 goals, I think, in like 12 or 13 games. You know, one being yesterday, we obviously let a very, very late goal go in against Southington. You know, but by then, my team looked completely different by being up so many goals. I was able to get a lot of other players in. You know, and then we let a goal in against McMahon. But, you know, we're on, I think, a 12 or 13 game winning streak. And it is built off the platform of good defense. And those boys are playing real well. I mean, Juan Brazón just, you know, offers such a level of calmness and he reads the game so well. So, you know, he does such a good job of organizing the players that are around him, you know, and then obviously we have Finn, who's just a monster out there with his size. So, you know, if you're going to play the ball in the air, know that the likelihood of you winning any of it is pretty slim. You know, and then I've got rotations going on in the fullback areas with guys that can get forward, that they're fast, they win the ball. You know, in the air, they win the ball on the ground. So, no, I'd agree. You know, the platform, obviously, to win championships, you have to make sure you don't concede goals. And the boys that I've got out there right now are just doing a fantastic job. And, you know, there was a little bit of a scare against Wilbur Cross when Miguel came out for a high ball, really didn't communicate with Finn, who's kind of got stepping backwards to head the ball. And actually, the ball goes over the top of him. He's going literally into an empty net. And then who shows up out of nowhere? One. Literally to hook the ball from going in. And, you know, it's just a sign of a kid who reads the game so well and knows where to position himself on situations. So, yeah, you know, really happy. You've got to keep it going for another 2 more games.
Yeah, he's the most underrated player. Well, the coaches recognize it because Juan was first team All-FCAC, but he, from the media, doesn't get anywhere near the acclaim that he deserves. He's your most underrated. I'm one of your best players.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd agree, Dave, because the reality is that, you know, a lot of the times people are looking at, you know, goals scored, assists, and all the rest of it. But, yeah, you know, one goes about his business in a pretty kind of calm, in a reassuring, you know, confident manner, and it doesn't always get recognized. You know, and it's probably not got recognized as much as well because the players that are playing also in front of him are working so hard to prevent the ball actually even getting in to those areas where you will probably see, you know, my back line really at their best. You know, and the case in question was yesterday, you know, we've let a goal in. It wasn't particularly good defending, quite honestly. We've allowed a ball to come into the box. Strikers got really in between the two central defenders and finished off a good header. But after that, Norwalk really didn't muster up anything. And players like, you know, Juan and Finn and, you know, and I thought Silas Cook had a great game at right back when I brought him in and, you know, Pat Miller and Marco and whatever, they ended up not really having to do that much because, you know, we turn that kind of table around on teams and just work with the front 6 players that much harder and it just prevents a lot of those kind of dangerous situations ever materializing. And then players like Juan kind of are just out there. They're not really having to do that much. So, but definitely, I mean, I got to be honest, I think he's probably the best centre-back in the conference, honestly. And I would say that, you know, not knocking any of other coaches and players that they've got, but have an opportunity to stick Juan Brazón in your centre of defence. I think, you know, all of the other 15 schools would say in a heartbeat. So,
well, yeah. We know the FSAC.
I agree with you.
The FCAC season is an absolute grind, and then you go to states. It's been since 2012. We've talked about it. I looked it up yesterday. Norwalk won. I can't remember which title they were co-champions, but they won both championships. You got to go back to Staples 2009 where a team won outright the FCAC and state championship, and now that we have penalty kicks, there's not going to be a co-champion. So you're two wins away from what would just be an extraordinary season, and I'd like to talk to you more, but I got to save a few minutes for the guy I know that you'd like to see on next week. And I got to bump you and give Sol a little bit of time, but Kurt, it's your team's just a lot of fun to watch, and you know we go way way back covering you. So best of luck. Let's make it an all FCAC final, hopefully. And thanks for taking the time here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it'd be a blast to go up against Sil. You know, we do battle pretty much every year for the last 10 years, so that could be a blast.
Okay, well, we're certainly at the Rudin Report hoping for an all FCAC final. So, Kurt, thanks a lot, and we'll see you this week.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take our final break, and when we come back, Trumbull coach Sil Vitello, you're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Fall high school sports lives right here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Now, back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
We're back for our final segment, and I'm not going to give him the introduction that he deserves, other than he's been the coach of what's been the model program in the FCAC for the last 5 or 6 years. And since I'm running a little late with him, I want to get right into it. Eagles coach Sil Vitello. Sil, how you doing?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm sorry I went a little too long with Kurt there. I should have, should have given you a few of his minutes, but
that's okay. He deserves the airtime.
You know what? I one of the biggest wins in the FCAC, not only in for an FCAC team, not only in soccer, but the entire season. Notre Dame of West Haven in the quarterfinal on Friday. People were telling me, you even said you'd heard this, you know, Notre Dame, the best team this year and one of the best teams anybody has seen in the last few years, and you come away with a 1-0 win. You just have to be so proud of your guys.
Oh, I'm proud as punch. They bought into what we were trying to sell them. We knew that we had to play a certain way to play against them. Everything that we had heard about them is spot on. They do things that high school teams don't usually do. They're very creative. They're relentless in their attack. And the goal going in was to try to keep them a little off balance, maintain our discipline, and take the chance once we got one. And, you know, our goalkeeper had to come up with a couple of saves in the second half. And everything had to go exactly as we wanted it to go. And it ended up turning out that way. And I couldn't be prouder than the boys.
We talked a little bit about we talked after your first round game, but there's such a quick turnaround. It's so hard to win an FCAC title, and then you have a quick turnaround, and you got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs of the FCAC tournament for the first time in years. You got a tough draw having to play Stanford. You've won 4 of the last 5 FCAC titles before this year, and you've had to come right back and face some early elimination in states. You had the extra rest this year, and now you're going to the semis. Do you think, obviously you want to win a championship, you're not giving those back, but do you think you guys have been able to turn a negative into a positive with the extra rest and the chance to regroup?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. You get a little bit of extra time. You know, we get to hit the reset button a little bit. The way the rankings come out now on the CIAC website, you know well in advance who you're drawing, who you could potentially draw. So you can get to work on some of these teams and get some information and get an idea of how you want to play. You know, that extra time, that extra training that we were able to get, we almost treated it like it was another preseason. We scrimmaged Wilbur Cross in between, so we have a game. So we try to use that to our advantage. There are two sides to every equation. Once we got over the disappointment of losing that quarterfinal game to Stanford, we went right to work on our preparation. And, you know, so far it's worked out for us.
I've gotten to see you a few times, and you know there aren't many superstars on your team. You've got a bunch of strong players. Obviously, you have one of the top keepers in Connor Hughes, and you have a dangerous scorer in Mateus Almeida, who got the winning goal for you. You don't have any weaknesses anywhere, also, and I think that's what's been your biggest strength. What do you see as what's made this team so successful?
I think our adaptability is proven to be the most important element of our team. We basically put in a couple of different shapes for the postseason, and you know, we want to use them based on opponent, based on what we want to try to do and what we want to exploit. And so along the way here, we've asked some players to make some sacrifices, maybe play different roles depending on opponent, depending on the situation. And because there isn't that one superstar, like you said, I think the team mentality, the playing for one another, the sacrificing for one another, the pulling for one another, parts to our team have really come forth, and quite honestly, that is what pushed us through this last game the other day at Notre Dame of West Haven. So, you know, we do need individual performances, right? Mateus Almeida scored a very important goal for us the other day. Connor Hughes made a couple of very key saves, including one that should be on a lot of highlight reels on YouTube. I'm see if I can do that for him. But, you know, we had players throwing themselves in front of shots and sacrificing their bodies and doing all of the little things that don't necessarily show up on score sheets to win the team a game. And so, yeah, going back to, you know, your question, I think our adaptability, our ability to change our team, change our game based on situations has been the best part to this point.
Well, do me a favor and send me that video to share after. And I'm sorry this has been quick, but I'll make you a promise. Get two more wins and I'll have you back on next week.
You got yourself a deal.
Okay, so thanks a lot for joining me here and good luck. And that's this week's episode of the Rudin Report Live. Again, I want to thank my guests, Alexa Pino, Grant Stupak, Kurt Putnam, and Silvitello. Have a good week, everybody. It's state championship finals week. We'll have a lot to talk about on the Rudin Report Live on WICC.